Dirty Laundry, Episode 2.
Dad, you're awake. Francis has dropped in after chapel. Would you like some tea? That's a lovely smile.
This is the BBC Home Service. This morning's recital is given by Appleton Moore, bass, and Derek Collier, violin, with Josephine Lee at the piano. Derek Collier begins with an adagio by Corelli, the slow movement from one of his violin sonatas.
I do like a lay preacher. You hear the same sermons that many times over the years. They start to repeat on you like pickled onions.
Water's almost boiled. Thanks for the extra coal.
I prayed for your dad at chapel this morning, Nora, as I do every night before I go sleep.
Then maybe your prayers are answered. I think he'll manage some tea.
I noticed that lot from the guild players were in conference at the end of the service. I've not heard what they're doing this year. Have you?
I could do with a comedy.
My favourite was the first one they did. Do you remember? Mystery at Greenfingers. I like a good murder.
You have such a good memory, Francis. Don't you fancy having a go with the players yourself? You could learn lines, I bet.
Theatricals? Me? Oh, thank you not. I expect they're more in need of young people.
I don't think so. I saw Dorothy Peasgood from the Sunday School. They're getting a television.
Of course they are. Them Peasgoods are flash.
They're having it in time for the coronation. Dorothy said I can go round and watch it if I like.
You won't have to if someone on our street gets one. There's a couple I can think of with enough swank to put themselves in up for a telly box. Oh, I'm ready for this.
I'll take one up to Dad.
You sit down and have a drink yourself.
I'm fine. I'll take one up to him.
I'll do it. Here. Now, once I've wet me whistle, I'll be off. They'll be wanting some dinner.
I can manage, Francis.
Right. You have that, and I'll take this one up to Reuben. I can tell him all about the game yesterday.
A win, wasn't it?
It was 3-0. Hartlepool. Didn't know what had hit them. Basil Hayward got two. No sign of that back injury now.
Dad'll be pleased to hear it.
I shan't be a moo.
Mr. Richard.
Good afternoon, Nora. You'll forgive the intrusion. I was passive and on impulse. I thought I'd knock and inquire after Reuben.
That's very kind of you, sir. As a matter of fact, he's rallied this morning. My neighbour, Mrs. Berry, has just taken him up a cup of tea.
Then perhaps I might come in.
Oh, yes, of course. Please.
Is there just you and your father here, Nora?
My mother died when I was born.
Ah, yes, Janute, I recall that now. She worked for us too, I believe, in my father's day. In fact, if I think, I'm sure I could remember her name. Louise.
Lucy.
Lucy, that's it. I think you very like her.
Dad's never remarried. My aunt helped to look after me when I was little.
And you came to work at Warham's... when?
1947, sir. Straight from school.
I hope you're happy with us.
Oh, yes, sir.
But with your father so ill, how are you managing?
I'm doing all right. With Mrs. Berry's help, I'm able to take care for Dad and not let my work slip. I wouldn't want you to
That's what I meant, Nora. I've no complaints. You're a very efficient lot in the sponge shop.
He's had a few sips and gave me a smile too. He was pleased about the veil. Reckons they could finish chop. Oh!
Francis, Mr. Warham is called.
Good afternoon, Mrs...
Berry. Francis Berry. You won't know me, but I did work for Warham's very briefly, back in your father's day.
Really? You must have been only a girl.
Oh, I was.
just a slip of a thing then.
Nora tells me you're a great help to her, Mrs. Berry.
Gracious me, not at all, Mr. Richard, not at all. We're all very neighbourly here, and Reuben is very well respected.
Indeed. He gave us many years' service, first for my father, then for me. I'm glad to have the opportunity to call and pay my respects.
It does you credit, sir.
Perhaps I may step upstairs for a moment.
Of course.
I want to trouble him if he's resting.
I should probably set an extra cup. He won't stop, but I ought to offer him tea when he comes down. What do you think, Francis?
I think it's the queerest thing out.
Is it?
If Richard Warham visited every poor soul dying of potter's rot in this town, he'd never have time for anything else.
I'm sure Dad is well thought of.
I didn't mean...
And he's worked for Warhams all his life. Started in the slip house when he was just a lad, then moved to Dipping, then foreman.
Your dad was one of the best men I ever knew.
He's not dead yet, Francis. I will fetch another cup.
You might want to drop more hot water in the pot, Nora. This is stewed. It just took me by surprise, seeing him here.
I could tell.
Not what you expect, is it?
And you, only the other day talking about how all the girls at Warhams went soppy over Mr. Richard. Turns out they weren't the only ones.
You look tired, duck.
I'm all right.
Never so dark round your eyes.
Did you say this needed more hot water?
Perhaps I should come and sit with Reuben tonight.
We're all right.
Are you? You seem ever so tetchy.
Do I?
That's tiredness, that is.
Francis.
Is he still having nightmares?
I don't need you to sit with him, Francis.
Have you thought of getting the minister?
He doesn't want the minister.
But if he's having nightmares...
He's poorly and in pain. What do you expect?
He might find some peace, that's all.
It's Mr. Richard. Mr. Richard, will you have a cup of tea? I was just refreshing the pot.
Thank you, no. I won't intrude any further.
I'd better be getting on. Potatoes don't peel themselves. Good afternoon, Mr. Warham.
I expect my father was pleased to see you, sir.
I think so.
He hasn't had any company but me and Francis and the doctor for weeks now.
No one else has been to visit him.
There's no family left.
No friends? Close pals?
You'll know he wasn't one for drinking and that.
Has he asked for anyone?
No one I know.
Forgive me, I couldn't help overhearing your conversation with Mrs. Berry. Is Reuben having nightmares?
He's just talking in his sleep. He keeps calling out to a woman, Emmeline. Maybe someone from his childhood days.
Have you asked Mrs. Berry about Emmeline?
No. To be honest, sir, I wouldn't want any gossip spreading. I don't mean to speak ill of Mrs. Berry, but...
Say no more, I understand. Perhaps it's as well not to ask too many questions of the neighbours or at the pottery. People talk.
I'd hate for people to think bad of him.
And I want you to know that you'll always have a roof over your head and you'll never be without a job whilst Warhams is in business.
Thank you, sir.
I said as much to Reuben just now. I hope that's eased his mind a little.
He has been fretting about me.
You're part of the family of Warhams. And we look after our own.
I don't know what to say.
Say nothing. In fact, I think it's best on all counts, if in doubt, to say nothing.
Yes.
I'll be on my way then. I'll see you at the works during the week.
Yes, sir.
You'll keep me informed of your father's health.
I will.
And if he has any other visitors.
Who else would visit?
Quite. Good afternoon, Nora.
Good afternoon, Mr. Richard.
There you go, Reuben. That'll keep you warm till Nora comes in for her dinner. You're quite cosy in here, though it's ever so cold out today. Hello? Nora? Is that you?
It's only me, Francis.
Good morning, Doctor.
Didn't think you'd still be here.
When I arrived, he was fretful. I sat by him for a while till he dropped off. Are you waking now?
No, he looks comfortable. I was passing on my rounds and thought I'd check in. No need to disturb him.
I think he's had a bad night again with these dreams. I told Nora to ask the minister to call, to assure Reuben of his eternal reward. That'd settle his mind.
Perhaps.
You're not a believer, Dr. Cotton.
I'm a man of science, Mrs. Berry.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe.
Religion is a source of strength and comfort, I don't deny that. I see a great deal of suffering. Sometimes I wish I could share that confidence in a higher power, a better place.
Is there no higher power than you, Doctor?
Nature, Mrs. Berry. Nature is the greatest power.
Would that be earth and trees and air? Or do you mean to say human nature?
I think I mean death.
Someone at the door.
Yeah.
Oh, good morning. Mrs. Berry, is it?
Councillor Blythe.
Hope you won't mind me inquiring after the health of Reuben Moth. I believe he's gravely ill now. Might I step in for a moment? It's devilish cold.
Of course, Councillor. My word, poor Reuben is getting some important visitors.
Ah, Copper, you're here.
Thank you for your help, Francis. I'll speak with Councillor Blythe. You can be on your way.
Will you disturb Reuben? He's only just settled.
Of course not. You'll be calling in again this afternoon.
Ah. I'll be getting off then. Tell Nora I've knitted a couple of new dishcloths for her. By the sink.
Thank you, Francis. For everything you do.
I want to understand the patient isn't well enough for a visitor.
Why are you here, Hadley?
I'm on the campaign trail. Perhaps you haven't heard. Albert Davies died a couple of weeks ago on a boat to Jamaica. The parliamentary seat for Stoke-on-Trent North is suddenly vacant. By-election's fixed for the end of next month.
Are you running?
Seeking nomination.
I see.
My chief concern is public health. In the Potteries, we've known for years what they've only just cottoned onto in London. The smog last year finally shot the government into action. Now we have a chance to finally enshrine air quality in law.
Oh, save your speeches for the council chamber, Hadley. What are you doing here? You must know that canvassing for Reuben Moth's vote is a waste of time. He'll be dead long before the by-election, probably by the end of the week.
Lung disease is the plague in this city. My campaign will be founded on a personal concern for every soul who suffers as a result of pollution.
Reuben has silicosis from breathing the dust in the pottery. How would restrictions on the burning of coal help him?
Clean air is only the beginning.
Have you been talking to Warham?
Richard Warham? Since my campaigning on pollution began, we've barely spoken. The owner of a pot bank that relies on three bottle ovens for its business is hardly going to welcome a Clean Air Act.
You could say the same for their investors.
I sold my shares in Warham some time ago. It wasn't a decision I took lightly. Our families have been associates for more than half a century, but I was reassessing my investment portfolio and I found I couldn't reconcile certain financial interests with my environmental principles. Richard took it all in good part, initially.
So you're not speaking?
Yeah, it's a great pity.
Though it appears you both still have one thing in common, at least. Richard Warham has also suddenly taken a special interest in the health of Reuben Moth. He called here on Sunday.
Reuben is an employee of his, I believe, and his daughter also.
You're well informed.
Is your patient fit for a visitor or not?
Why would he wish to see you?
I'm determined that Reuben will be one of the last to die in this town of illness caused by the environment in which he lives and works. Perhaps knowing that there is a healthier future of his daughter and her children will bring Reuben some comfort.
I doubt that Reuben's state of mind will be improved by the sight of you, Councillor.
Of course. I wouldn't want to distress him.
Perhaps you'll pass on my respect.
Good luck with the nomination.
Shall I call again?
You can hear the next episode of Dirty Laundry at the same time tomorrow, when Richard Warham has a proposition for Nora.